a frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Mad Tower Radio. As usual, I am your host, Dan, joined by my co-host, Christian.
Hey.
And we're here to, talk about cryptids, conspiracies, good stories, all the like. Christian, we have any new listeners. Why don't you go ahead and outline what this show is?
For sure. So every week here on the Mad Tower Radio, we're going to bring each other a story, a creature, something that happened on the news, or something that really sort of spoke to us, and give a little bit of a presentation, show us our thoughts, and we're just going to try and learn as much as we can about monsters, theories.
Yeah. I'm still pretty, still pretty amped up. I know we took a super long break, but... Mm-hmm. I think our first episode turned out, or first new episode back, turned out really well. Except, my audio issues, but shouldn't be a problem this time.
And but, it's always a growing project, I'm happy to look back at the old stuff and say, oh, this did work. Oh, this did not work.
Nah, even if it's even with the audio issues, I'm still oh, fuck yeah, when I'm just looking at, our YouTube page and, videos are on there.
Mm-hmm. Or every week I get to spend a couple hours, searching this sick new thing.
Let me adjust my chair really quick so I'm not rubbing up against the leg of my table. But, what was I saying? I totally just lost it.
About looking at the YouTube page and seeing things actually there.
Yeah, it's really fun getting to learn about this stuff. I mean, I still don't want to commit to a schedule. I'm not going to say new uploads this day, but we're going to pump out one a week, usually on the weekend, just to be flexible.
Yeah, we unfortunately have lives, commitments, stuff like that.
Yeah, hopefully one day I won't just be moonlighting as a podcaster.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just be one.
To quit the 9-to-5 and just talk about massive sharks and hairy beasts, please.
That's the dream.
But
that's
still the dream. My heart.
Wake up in the morning and be I got to go to work, honey, duty calls. And then I just go in the other room and start researching about fucking Bigfoot.
Yeah, I wake up in the morning and go, time to go to work. And I put on my night vision goggles and go into the subway.
Subway the sandwich shop, or Subway the underground trains?
Haunted tunnels beneath the city.
Ah, okay. All right, so, yeah, without further ado, I wanted to talk to you this week about monoliths. Are you familiar with what a monolith is?
Well, legally, a tall... structure?
Yeah. So, the noun monolith comes from the Greek word monos, meaning single, and lithos, meaning stone. So, by definition, it just means one rock, but over time, the definition has taken on, a stone monument, or, anything like that, and the term didn't really mean much until 2001, A Space Odyssey. I've never seen it, but researching monoliths now, I kind of want to watch it. But apparently that movie prominently features a monolith. I have no idea what it does.
From what I can tell, I've read a lot of Arthur C. Clarke, who's the author of book.
Dude
kicks ass, but I think it gives them knowledge, raises their civilization. I don't know. I've not also seen Space Odyssey.
Yeah, that's, I don't know.
You know, Stellaris?
Yeah.
I think it Stellaris's them.
So, do you remember the cursed year of 2020?
Yeah, when you pitched me that it was going to be monoliths this week, I was wondering if it was going to be those new recent ones.
Yeah, prominently, I'm going to talk about the Utah monoliths.
Okay.
Sir, so back in November 18th of 2020, a couple of Utah DPS workers were flying a helicopter out over a remote part of southeastern Utah, and they were counting sheep. You know, I don't, like, literally they were counting sheep. I don't know what for. I don't know what purpose that serves, but I'm sure it's important. But from the sky, they saw a huge, like, metal glare, you know, like a huge reflection.
Okay.
Coming from between some rocks, and they were like, they were just so curious that they were like, fuck it, let's go check it out. You know, which is weird to me because I don't know that you can just like, well, I mean, apparently you can because they did it, but like, it's just wild to me that these guys were like, yeah, fuck it.
I'm not doing anything else. Yeah.
But I mean, hey, man, if you can fly a helicopter, then that's a pretty valuable skill. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You know? And so they went down there and they went to the area to investigate it. And at that spot, sure as shit, they found a 12-foot tall, like, chrome-looking monolith, right? I mean, mm-hmm. we've all seen the picture. That was, like, the huge talk of November 2020 was the Utah monolith. I remember seeing pictures of it every day. I was like, oh, this is the shit.
Yeah,
Back when it was coming out, that was, like, super hype for me.
I was waiting for, something to come out or something to...
It seems like the whole story just vanished out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like nobody's talking about the monolith anymore. But the weird part of it is that based on satellite imagery, that monolith was erected sometime between August 2015 and October 2016. So that thing was there for 4 to 5 years, and nobody discovered it until then. Or if they did, they didn't say anything about it. But I mean, you know, these days, if you come across something in the woods like that, I feel like overwhelming majority of the population is going to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
Try to post it on fucking Facebook or something. I fucking would have, you know.
You better believe if I see a creature in the woods, it's going to be on TikTok by the end of the night.
Yeah. So like that thing was out there for 4 to 5 years and just... No, nobody saw it. So it must have been a really, really remote part of
I mean, if we're being honest, is there any part of Utah that isn't remote?
Yeah, I mean, I know a guy from Utah and he's from around Salt Lake, and every like he's just like, yeah, there's not much outside of Salt Lake.
Utahians, check in. How are you doing?
Oh, probably doing great.
So monolith.
Yeah, and so after that, like, more monoliths started popping up all over. There's one in California and one in Romania. People have been fucking finding them all over the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then on November... So... Before I move on, some of the ones that were erected afterwards or appeared afterwards, like there were people that were claiming that were like, yeah, I was just inspired by the Utah one. Like I made it. And then there's other ones that are just as mysterious as this one. You know, the general consensus is at this time is that it was an art piece.
Just in the middle of the grasslands or the desert of Utah.
Exactly. That's why I'm kind of like, I don't know, you know, I think the thing was man-made. I'll say that much.
There's something really charming about it, though, that someone wants to do something freaky and scary like that.
Oh, yeah.
My vibe.
I mean, maybe it was like just a super, you know. You ever done geocaching? Well, actually, I know
we've gone geocaching.
Geocaching in high school.
Yeah.
That was a fun time.
Ruined a birthday party, but yeah.
But maybe that was just like, you know, a really, really cool geocaching idea. This guy was like, I'm going to just set up something over here. And for those of you that don't know, geocaching is this hobby where people just post coordinates on a forum and you go there and, you know, they leave something there. It's like a little trinket. Some people leave money. Some people leave notes. But like the whole fun of it is like you hike out to this little hidden thing and you you take whatever's there and you leave something in return. It's really cool. I actually came up on a random geocache site when I was a kid. I was walking down this dirt road with my two brothers and my stepbrother, and we were staying over at his place in the weekend. He lived a little far away, and we were walking down this dirt road back to his house because he kind of lived in the middle of nowhere. And I just saw like a pill bottle that was like zip tied to a tree branch.
Are you sure?
I was like, huh?
Are you sure this is a geocache, or did you as a kid find like a drug drop?
Well, no, it was a geocache because at first he was like, no, he's like, I don't know. You like, I don't know if you should mess with that. He's like way older than us. So he was like in charge. And he's like, I don't know if you should mess with that. And I was like, oh no, like, it's fine, blah, 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 blah. And I popped the lid off, and inside of it was a little metal statue of a basketball player. I'm actually looking at it. It's on my shelf right now. But I just, like, walked up on a geocache in the wild, so that was pretty cool. I didn't have anything on me, so I put, like, $2 in there.
So you think that this thing was constructed sort of just to freak out some dude on a hike?
Maybe. There's some other theories, you know. Some other theories I'll get into.
I feel like I remember them chipping pieces off of it, like doing analyses on it. Is it a metal monolith?
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, let me look at that. I didn't come across that.
Sure.
Let me look it up real quick.
While we're in the in-between, it's a monolith in Dagon, yeah? The Lovecraft story?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It just says metal.
Okay, just a metal piece.
Yeah. It's all made of metal sheets riveted into a triangular prism.
That kicks ass.
Yeah, it's just sheet metal, which is still pretty cool. So obviously I think this thing is man-made, mm-hmm. right? But so get this. November 27th. Extreme sports YouTuber Andy Lewis uploaded a video of him and a team dismantling the monument and then talking about how he hated that the natural beauty of the area was getting ruined by people going to see the monument or the monolith.
Okay.
And I'm like, what a fucking nerd. Honestly.
You taking a stance against natural beauty?
No. Natural beauty is great. Natural beauty is great, but I think it's a lot easier to maybe put up a sign that says, please clean up after yourself, or maybe go there and pick up the litter, rather than like just deconstructing this mysterious monolith that went undiscovered for 5 years.
In this case, yeah, a little throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, like kind of a douchebag move, I think, because like from all the tweets that like the Utah Bureau of Land Management was making, it sounded like they were just going to leave it there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because and it was funny because after he did that, the Utah Bureau of Land Management was like, "Hey, like even though that was left on public property, that's private property. You stole that."
Yeah, if you show up and tear down this thing on some dude's land.
You know, like, everybody was having a good time with the monolith. Like, the government was like, yeah, hey, like, it was like, hey, you can't just leave stuff, what did they say? they said some funny tweet. It was something along the lines of like, hey, you can't just leave stuff out in the middle of the desert, even if you're not from Earth, making a joke about like maybe aliens made it. And I'm like, this is great. You know,
they're in on the game. And this, yeah.
And this guy was just like, oh, it's hurting the natural beauty of the place. And he just takes it. I'm like, man, if anything, that's increasing, not increasing the natural beauty, but more people are going out to this place that they've never been before, seeing, you know,
Utah,
seeing the natural beauty of Utah, which pretty cool. If you ask me, you're getting people outdoors, you know?
Absolutely.
So that part just made me upset. Apparently he was like, oh, I reconstructed the monolith in my backyard. You can come see it in my backyard.
Oh, like, piss off, yeah. Guy.
Yeah, fuck off, man. No one wants to come to your backyard and subscribe to your fucking YouTube channel.
See, you can charge a ticket to go see the backyard monolith. Piss off.
Yeah, fuck you. Put it back.
Put it somewhere new. Put it somewhere sick.
Put it somewhere new. But then, like, I don't know. I saw a bunch of YouTube videos. I didn't bother to click on one, but it was like clickbait. Like, it's so funny because it looks like the Soyjack guy pointing behind him. But there were a bunch where it was like the thumbnail where it was just the YouTuber making the Soyjack face pointing at the monolith. And it was like, I encountered a random monolith in the woods. And I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, knowing YouTubers, like, homie built that just to make a video.
I mean, if more people want to get into the business of monolith construction, like, I think I could go with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then I tried finding something with all these other ones popping up about if the locations had any significance, because I was reminded of this episode of Ancient Aliens I watched about... I know, Ancient Aliens. This episode of Ancient Aliens I watched where they were talking about ley lines. Have you ever heard of ley lines?
Yes, yes.
About how, like, stuff in the world just lines up.
How mysterious, like, pyramids tend to, like, line up and point at things, yeah.
Yeah, here on Wikipedia it says, ley lines refer to straight alignments drawn between various historic structures and prominent landmarks. The idea was developed in early 20th century Europe, with ley line believers arguing that these alignments were recognized by ancient societies that deliberately erected structures along them. You know, and I saw something about how, like, the points along the ley lines dot fountains of, like, natural energy that they were, like, trying to harness and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool, but it doesn't seem like they have any significance to the locations. It was just people, you know. Just making them, you know.
What kind of, what other locations were monoliths spotted at around this time?
The most famous ones are Utah, California, and Romania, at least in 2020. And the Romania one, I believe, was claimed by a copycat artist.
Come on, dude. You're already in, like, the coolest haunted country in Europe. You've got it all around you, my guy.
Yeah, I would have put that shit up right in front of fucking Vlad's castle or whatever.
The idea of, like, wanting to add more haunted, horrible energy to the space around you, it seems kind of nice. Like we could go into the woods and put up some fake Blair Witch stones to add to the ambiance.
The first time I watched Blair Witch, I actually went outside and started, like, this was like seventh grade. I actually went outside and started, like, making the little stick effigies and, like, hanging them up.
No, thanks.
And that movie terrorized my mom. That movie terrorized my mom when she watched it the first time. She told me, like, it was funny because I grew up with, like, this huge impression of the Blair Witch Project, that it was, like, horror beyond comprehension, because my mom would tell me that, like, she slept with the lights on for 3 months after she watched it.
That's powerful.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is insane. And people would be like, oh, let's watch Blair Witch. And I'd be like, fuck no, I'm going home. You know? And finally, in like seventh grade, I was like, all right, I guess I'll watch Blair Witch. And I watched it with a couple of buddies, and I was like, this is actually a really fucking cool movie. So, but I like went out and like just built the little stick effigies in the movie, and I just go hang them up in like the quote unquote woods across from my house. And I don't think anybody ever saw them or cared, but it was still fun for me. Loves doing that.
See, you and the mysterious monolith erector have a shared energy.
Mm-hmm.
A kinship.
I don't think we'll ever know what the original purpose of the monolith was, you know?
Now, when I picture the monolith, and it's been like 10 months or something since I've seen a picture of this thing. Does it have the hole in the middle, like the one in my mind does? You know what I'm talking about?
The hole in the middle?
Like the 2000...
No, I'll send you an image of it right now. You haven't seen one? You haven't seen a picture of it in a long time?
It's been a minute.
Let me look. If you Google image monolith, it's just the Utah one.
There's some monolith that just lives in my brain that has a hole in the middle.
That's awesome that you mention a monolith living in your brain, because I have a wacky fucking story that I want to finish off monoliths with.
Please,
that I
please
will get
do.
To.
Okay.
But like I was saying, I don't think we'll ever know the purpose of it, you know? Was it just left out there for fun, like a geocache? Was it religious in some way? Was there some secret cult worshiping the monolith out there? Or something, like, it could be anything. And then in my head, are you familiar with Cicada 3301?
Excuse me?
Oh, man. Well, I guess we'll save that for another episode then. But Cicada 3301 is this giant world-spanning, literally spans the whole world, augmented reality game or whatever you want to call them, ARG.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd, like, literally you would have to, like, buy a plane ticket and, like, fly to Korea and, like, fly to these different countries to solve the puzzle.
Oh, no, I've never heard of this universe.
Yeah,
AARG.
Like everybody talks about it like the world's greatest puzzle. It's awesome. But don't look it up, because I'll cover it on a future episode.
For sure.
But like maybe it's a component to this puzzle. Like that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. You know, it could be anything, but I do think it's man-made. You know, because this douchebag Andy Lewis was able to just take it apart and put it in his backyard, you know?
So it's not lizards, it's not aliens, it's not the mole people?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm going to go with man-made.
Great, and that's fine for me. Man-made shit is just as horrifying.
So now let me move into some stuff that happened before the Utah monolith, and this one is really cool. Because it, this one's very similar to the, Utah monolith.
Okay.
But it happened in 2001.
A little on the nose, but okay.
Yeah. Dawn of the new year, 2001. This is January 4th, 2001, from the Los Angeles Times. Dawn of the new year, 2001, a mysterious steel monolith appears on a windswept hilltop in a public park. Its orientation is in the line between sunrise and sunset. Its dimensions, 1 foot by 4 feet by 9 feet, the square of the first three prime numbers. Then, as suddenly and inexplicably as it appeared, the monolith vanished. In its place Wednesday morning, at Seattle's Warren Magnuson Park, was a single broken red rose, and dozens of people, mindful of the enigmatic monolith in the film 2001 Space Odyssey, had come looking. I don't know what happened. Someone might have taken it, or what more can I say? Said the park director. It's all very mysterious. So yeah, this one, like, this one's pretty cool. It's in 2001, you know, so obviously I think this is an homage to the movie.
Yeah, it's hot.
You know, the article talks about how Washington has had guerrilla art movements before, and that this could just be a guerrilla art piece, which I definitely think so, but it's still really cool, you know?
That,
and
yeah, okay.
Interesting about this one is that they have no idea how they built it there, because, you know, I mean, the Utah one, it was in the middle of the desert, right? But this one was in the middle of a park, and there were no, like, the gate wasn't broken, there were no tire tracks, evidence of, like, construction. Like, it just looks like it straight up appeared.
Okay, good magic trick.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And they estimate that it would have likely taken 6 to 8 men to haul the hollow steel up the hill.
Okay, so it's I'm just, like, trying to pick my brain. How, if I'm trying to put this prank on somebody, how am I going to do this?
You know, me and 6 to 8 buddies are really dedicated to this prank. I think you could definitely make it happen with just manpower. For sure.
It's kind of given me an idea. Do you know there's a sequel, or there's a second year called out in Space Odyssey?
No, I don't. No.
There's another... or there's 2010. That's Odyssey 2. So no mocks that day. But I think there's like a 2061 as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, 2061, and then there's 3001 Final Odyssey, but I won't live to that one. So
yeah.
do you want to put a monolith up in 2061?
I mean, yeah. If we can still move, if we're not all digitized Christ. Into the simulation.
If you were given, you know, a blessed retirement and enough funds to enact your dreams, where would you stick a monolith? If you could.
If I could?
Yeah.
I could be really fun to go back home where we live and just put one in the middle of a cornfield.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Just right there. I think
that'd be really cool.
Okay.
But in the middle of corn season, so nobody will know till, like, they're harvesting.
Yeah, until there's a tractor accident and that thing cracks the thresher.
Well, you know, I'd build it big enough that the farmer's gonna stop his harvester before he sees it.
Mm.
You know, not okay. That big of a dickhead.
Yeah, in the fall when all of the corn dust is swirling and looking ominous, and you look out into the freshly carved fields and you see that thing standing there.
That's sick. Well, I don't know. I'd probably put it on public land, because that'd be a dickhead move to just pour some concrete in the middle of this farmer's cornfield, you know, but it would be cool. But I think on public land, it'd probably be better.
Okay.
But I'd want to make it somewhere remote enough that it, like the Utah monument, it's going to go undiscovered for a couple years.
I'm going to put that in the itinerary.
Yeah, we'll have to get to it. But yeah, like this Washington one, people got in touch with these guerrilla art movements, and their like spokespeople were like, nah, that wasn't us, but we wish it was.
Come on, guys.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that one's interesting. Let's see. This next one is a mysterious monolith in the Sicilian Channel.
The place between Sicily and Italy?
Yes.
Oh.
This one is a little weirder, right? Now, this one isn't tall. It's horizontally oriented. And it's not the fabled Atlantis, but it is tantalizing. Researchers studying the Mediterranean Sicilian Channel, an area now underwater, but partially exposed as recently as 9,000 years ago, found a 40-foot-long monolith broken in two, with uniform, regularly spaced holes that could not be explained through any natural process. Analysis confirmed the monolith was quarried from a rock formation about 1,000 feet from its resting place. Still a mystery, who created the monolith and other possibly man-made features nearby, including concentric circles and what may be a breakwater that's more than 250 feet long. We have opened the door to the unknown, notes lead researcher Emmanuel Lodolo, whose team published the find in September. So, yeah, there's just a monolith with mysterious fucking holes in it. This thing looks so cursed. Let me find the picture. Let me find you a picture.
Okay.
But yeah, it's like, that one's weird because, like, it's ancient and it has equally spaced holes in it that, like, can't be explained through a natural process. You know?
And it's a stone monolith.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you have the history degree. What were humans doing 9,000 years ago?
Unga bunga shit?
Unga bunga shit?
They were finding out what rocks were and hitting them?
Yeah. Were Homo sapiens even around then?
Oh, yeah.
Probably, right?
That's... If the timeline's fine, that's after the Neanderthals have been, you know, genocided.
Yeah.
We're A1 on the planet by then.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
I'm seeing right the holes bore in it. So... I'm trying to think. You said that this was... and a time when the water was lower?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was, so around, I don't know if this particular spot was exposed, but it said, like, some of the Sicilian Channel, at least, was exposed 9,000 years ago.
I mean, geology's crazy. It could be, you know, some boulder got where it wasn't supposed to go, but that definitely looks like there's, like, chunks out of it.
Yeah, it doesn't explain the hole either.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, if we want to, like, guess for a second, does that feel like a proto-Italian Stonehenge type thing, like a religious monument or something like that?
Maybe. I was reading about less interesting monoliths, and it was like, yeah. Like, there's a lot of monoliths in the U.S., and it's just, like, these rocks all over the place, but they're mostly, like, Native American sacred sites, or, like, there was one where it was just, like, a rock that they, like, wrote their names on as they passed through.
It's kind of cool.
I mean, they're still interesting, but they're not all that mysterious.
Yeah, something pretty much either anthropologically or, like, understood. Like, we get its place. Okay.
I mean, I think we lose a lot of insight on this thing due to it being underwater.
Mm-hmm.
If we were able to bring it to the surface and clean it off and, like, inspect this thing for real, because, like, if you look at it, it's all chunked up with, like, barnacles and shit.
I'm trying to imagine, is there some kind of, like, do creatures, sea creatures, bore into stone?
Not that I know of. I don't
think so.
Yeah, I can't think of anything that just bores into the stone. I mean, there's natural erosion.
Sure.
Which the thing definitely looks like it's gone suffered. Through it,
yeah.
But like they said, it doesn't look like these holes are explained by natural processes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, so it's really weird. It is a good one, but I don't think we'll get anything definite out of it unless we can see those holes. Because, you know, we have all these ancient structures that you can go out and see today where, like, the stonework on it is just so precise. You ever heard of those?
Are you pulling another ancient aliens topic.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, just because it's ancient aliens, that, I mean, they're not wrong. That shit is, looks like it's laser cut, you know?
There's some kick-ass stonemasons back in the day. Shout out to stonemasonry.
Exactly. But, like, they call into question, like, how did they do it? Which is a fair question.
I think it's just...
You know, so maybe if we were able to clean this thing up and look at those holes, maybe we'd be able to gather more data, you know? Because this thing, looking at the picture, looks very crusty.
If I had to throw a guess out, it's 9,000. I have a stick and like a metal, rock, and I'm learning to like scrape a little bit, you know, like the monkeys are doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, like a kid with a knife in the woods beating it against a tree, I'm like, oh, this stick rocks, and you start poking a rock that's nearby.
Yeah. Maybe they hung out. Maybe they all hung out on this rock. Maybe this rock was a part of something bigger.
Yeah, like
back when it was above water, and like they just kind of hung out there.
All the tribe meet at the rock. You know,
maybe
the one.
Maybe these holes are where they slept, where they sat, where they put stuff.
Hmm.
It could be anything, you know.
Because that's really big. Yeah, this key says that hole is like a meter to 2 meters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a big gash. Okay.
Maybe there's drawings all over this thing. It could be anything, you know.
Are you in favor of attempting to extract the Sicilian monolith?
Oh, yeah, you know, when I got Jeff Bezos money, I'm...
digging it out?
Yeah, fuck it. What, you need to stop me? If I got Bezos money, I will simply buy it and do whatever I want with my monolith.
Oh, God.
So, let me move into the last one I got for you.
Okay.
This one's gonna... This one's fucking awesome. Check this shit out. So this one comes to us from Phantoms and Monsters.
Shout out.
Really good forum. With a lot of good sightings. This one is called Summoned by the Monolith.
Good title. Whoever's writing these rocks...
The man behind the Phantoms and Monsters is a Lon Strickler.
Okay.
And he runs this forum. And this forum is a great spot to go if you want to look up sightings of anything. Like, I literally went to the search bar and just typed in monolith, and I found the story. It's fucking awesome. And I believe this article is actually written by Lon Strickler.
Okay.
I recently received a telephone call from an experiencer, I'll refer to him as MT, who is a medical professional living in Palm Springs, California. As I was listening to the account, it reminded me of the film Close Encounters of the Third Time because of some similarities. I do believe that MT is sincere, but very excitable, if not for a better word to describe his demeanor. He explained that since this incident, he has had other bizarre encounters with unknown entities. His brother and friends have also suffered strange, unexplained events. So, here it goes.
Okay.
This specific incident occurred in the winter of 1999 when MT, his brother, and two other friends were young men living in southeast Los Angeles. One afternoon, they were hanging out at one of their homes when they each experienced an unknown sensation of urgency. As they started to regain their senses, each man described a similar feeling and perception, and that they must go to a location as soon as possible. Neither man was specific as to the location, but they somehow knew where to go. Their urge to get to the mysterious location was so intense that they literally stole a relative's van. Their group climbed into the van and started to drive northeast towards the San Bernardino Mountains, an area that none of the young men were familiar with. As they continued on their trek, they each confirmed to each other that they were heading in the right direction. MT stated that he had no recollection of the trip, other than that they were on the correct course. It was starting to get dark but they were determined to achieve their objective. As they got very near to the location, the entire group screamed in unison, "Stop!" The van was parked on the side of a gravel road as they quickly piled out of the vehicle. By this time, it was totally dark, but they all knew in what direction that they were to walk. They had one flashlight between them. MT said that they were walking through an area with heavy underbrush and large pine trees. It was much cooler than the city, but no one was complaining. He believes that they hiked for about 45 minutes until they all knew that they had reached their objective. In a small clearing, a perfectly squared black rock was found. MT thinks it was about 5 feet square, and that each one of them could see it without the flashlight. He doesn't know how, but that it was revealed to them. They scampered on top of the monolith and collapsed into a deep sleep. Then suddenly, they all woke to the sound of something heading in their direction. There were literally hundreds of white orbs in various sizes darting through the trees and canopy. The sounds were unrecognizable, but each of them was scared of what was happening. They immediately jumped off the rock and began to run in the direction of the van. The orbs chased them through the forest, buzzing all around the frightened men. They knew that they were getting close to the van, when unexpectedly the orbs disappeared. Within seconds, they were abruptly confronted by several large, dark-colored vehicles with bright searchlights. MT said that he doesn't know how or why the vehicles suddenly appeared, but it was like they had manifested from a huge unseen portal or had descended from above. A loud human voice howled out, "What the hell are you doing here?" MT said that none of them responded to the voice. They were confused as to why they were there, and so scared that they were unable to answer. All of a sudden, they were hit with a horrendous bellowing that seemed to come from above as they fell to the ground. That is the last thing that either of the young men remembers from the location. Many hours later, MT and his brother were shaking him awake. The four men were all in the back of the van, each in anguish from throbbing headaches. MT said he opened the side door, and as the sunlight hit him in the face, it literally caused him to become ill. They looked around and realized that they were in a grocery store parking lot. They watched people going about their business, giving them strange glances. MT stated that eventually they figured out that they were in Riverside, California, but they had no idea how they got there. So what do you think of that?
When you told me that you were doing Monolith, this is the kind of shit that I wanted. This amazing, like, Junji Ito, like, ooh, I love it.
Yeah, like, whether this guy, MT, is telling the truth or not, that is still a fucking awesome story.
The author of the story said he was excitable. Was he kind of, like, shading this man up?
What? Maybe. I mean, he said he sounded sincere, mm-hmm. But, I mean, if I was summoned by the fucking monolith, I would probably be a little excitable as well.
Just every single step of the way, like the compulsion that they all felt, that's amazing.
Yeah, that, like, that's insane.
Falling asleep.
The hazy memory. They were able to see it without the aid of a flashlight. They just knew that the monolith was there.
The dudes
sounding
in trucks.
Like government vehicles showed up.
Or just, you know, some angry rural mountain folk.
Yeah, that whole story was insane. I looked for more stories like that, but I could only find this one.
It's the tops, though. That's excellent.
Oh, yeah. That was... I saw that, and I was like, I gotta save this for the end.
Like, it's just something so good about the monolith. Like, just it's striking, it's mysterious, like there's something about it.
Oh yeah, the idea of the monolith, just a stone structure in the middle of nothing, like, it's insane to me. That's why, like, monolith just piques my curiosity so much.
Are you touching, you know, a monolith you find in the woods?
Absolutely.
Oh my god, no, I'm not.
What, are you going to run?
I respect them. I'm not touching that thing if I see some, like, structure in the woods.
Okay, you know what? I guess I'll operate on the impression I get from the monolith.
If it radiates, like, a friendly energy or not.
Yeah, if it radiates, like, a fucking, like, place your hand on me energy, like, okay.
No.
But if it's, like...
That's the Venus flytrap monolith. No, sir.
If the monolith is like, be not afraid, I'll be like, all right.
Okay, buddy.
You know?
Oh, so, I love that.
I don't know. I'll base it off the demeanor of the monolith.
Okay. As anyone but, should.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got for monoliths. You
fantastic.
Got any closing thoughts?
I love monoliths. That's my closing thought. Like, if I anything that has them, they're in. I think Sixth Sense. They rule.
Oh yeah,
I'm in. I'm in for a monolith.
Yeah, I mean, I really ain't got much left to say about them either, other than like it's fucking cool. Build more monoliths,
please.
If you're out there wondering what you should do for your next guerrilla art piece, go build a monolith on public land
somewhere it shouldn't be.
Everybody loves them.
Absolutely, they do. That hype in November was that's like one of the few things in a very terrible year that like cut through all the BS, and we were all like, God damn. Monoliths rule.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm ready to hear about what you brought.
Great. I'll take the baton and start going. So, just to start off, I gave you the name, but what is your familiarity with Lake Baikal in Russia?
Is Lake Baikal that one lake that was, like, the largest lake in the world, and then... the Soviets just started running nuclear tests on it every day, and now it's like a radiated shithole lake.
Oh, there is another lake that got like drained and reduced to a very sad, like, wet spot.
Okay, so not that lake.
No, it's a different lake, but you know, we're gonna follow a vaguely similar trajectory of Soviet intrigue. Now,
I'm excited.
A couple of mine have been these really sick, like, Russian, like, haunting grounds, and that's exactly what Lake Baikal is. So, just a couple of stats for you. It is the deepest lake in the world.
Oh.
It's not the biggest by area. It's not, like, wide. It's a rift lake, so it's a spot where two plates pulled apart.
Ah.
And then, like, a chasm... between those two rifts, just filled with water and filled and filled and filled. It is the oldest lake in the world.
So it's just the abyss.
It's an abyss on ground level. Yes.
That's insane.
It has...
I'm Google imaging it right now.
Go for it. I'll send you a couple too. But it has 23% of the world's fresh water. So it's a deep lake.
That's huge.
It is just... abysmally big.
That is huge.
It is in the far eastern part of Russia, what probably most Americans would just call either flyover or gulag country.
Yeah, yeah.
Just north of the Mongolian border.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it on Google Image, and it looks like... a lot of people like to go there.
Oh, are you seeing, like, settlements or something?
No, not settlements, but, like, I'm seeing, like, oh, yeah. Like, look at this beautiful picture of Lake Baikal.
Oh, it's like, a tourist destination.
People are fucking walking across it while it's frozen.
Absolutely. There's a huge tourist scene. You can come, and they're going to put some pretty goddamn big cars on this... lake, because it freezes the hell over. Like, it's an amazing, beautiful place. It's kind of getting me up, like, getting my energy up to go visit it.
What is the depth at the highest?
It's something like 5,100 feet.
Oh, wow. I'm looking at a chart of the depths of it.
Oh, yeah. Send that my way. We'll put that in.
It is deeper than all the Great Lakes.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like it's deeper than the Atlantic in some places.
Mm-hmm. It's the void. It's, for visualization's sake, it's a little bit bigger than the country of Belgium, if that helps you.
Okay.
So just, in a lot of words, it's a goddamn big lake.
Wow.
And I just amassed, like, 5, 6, 7 horrendous, horrible stories about Lake Baikal. Just terrifying things
I'm excited to hear it.
Keep happening here. So, it's got a pretty unique ecosystem. There are a number of creatures that are exclusive just to Lake Baikal.
Really?
Like it's got freshwater seals. It's got unique types of fish only found in the lake. Like it's its own world.
Damn. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
And there's something that people can't really understand, that all of the amphipoda, that is a crustacean with no carapace, for some reason have gigantism in this lake.
No way.
Like, for some reason, all the, like, shrimpies are just really, really big.
No way.
All of the amphipoda gigantism in this lake is just baffling people.
How do you spell that? Anthropoda?
Amphipoda.
Oh, wow. Okay. Amphipoda.
You could ask your crab Stan wife.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And some people attribute it to... It's a very oxygenated lake. It's something that allows creatures to get really big in its water.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good breeding ground for large creatures.
So, I mean, that happens, like, that happens in the ocean now. Like, we're talking about deep sea gigantism, mm-hmm. you know? Like, the further down you go, shit is just big.
Just, you know? Massive.
Like giant squids and shit like that.
So, the first creature, it's going to sound a little basic, but like every good lake, there is the Lake Baikal monster.
Yeah, okay.
Naturally. It's called the Usud Khan by some local communities.
Usud Khan.
And I have a particular affinity for it because it's supposed to look like a big sturgeon, like those really fat, like flat armor-plated fish.
Mm-hmm.
I'll send you some sturgeon pics when we...
So is it like a, like... Is it supposed to be a, like, crazy monster, or is it just more of like a, like, yeah, it's some animal we don't know?
No, it goes all the way, like, across the spectrum. Like, some people are like, that's just a huge goddamn fish, because fish can get really big there, like we've seen it for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And some take it all the way the other way, and they call it the water dragon, or the god of the lake.
Oh, wow.
The origin story of one of the native peoples there says that their people, their sort of progenitor hero, came to the lake and made a deal with the water dragon. He slept with her, which is a little wild for me. little nuts.
Get it?
And his people, the people of the water dragon, now live there.
Uh-huh.
And that for hundreds of years, local communities have been giving sacrifices to the lake. And it'll be food, you know, it'll be like meat from pigs and things like that. But back in the day, they said they used to, you know, up the ante a little bit. And you'd take a little boat, take a little, you know, unfortunate lottery winner.
Yeah.
Send them out to the lake to feed the water dragon. Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
And that's just the tip of the lake iceberg.
Yeah.
So it's in a very weird location, like culturally. Like it's in this breeding ground, this crossroads where like Asian cultures, European cultures, even some like vaguely Middle Eastern Islamic influences can sort of reach that way.
Right.
There's a group of people that believe that one, Jesus Christ made a visit to this lake.
Huh?
JC himself came to the lake.
Yeah, probably because Yaldabaoth is living in the bottom of it.
He came to duel his nemesis. And it's also, you know, like I said, the lake freezes over, so it gets pretty bad in the winter. So Jesus Christ ascends the summit and blesses the lake and says that beyond here, there is nothing. And that's how the local people understand that you can't grow crops north of Lake Baikal. Like, no corn will grow. Mm. Nothing will grow north of the lake because Jesus Christ said this is where we stay.
Now, is that true? Can you not grow shit north of Lake Baikal?
I mean, if I had to guess, you know, if they were growing whatever the hell they were growing in, like, 200 AD, maybe our, like, practices can break through that.
Yeah.
But that's a Siberian maybe winter. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
also, 2,000 years of climate change. Maybe that'll help. It's also in more modern times, Ben.
Hold on. I want to go back to the Jesus thing quick. Was that a story from Jesus? Was that like who told this legend?
Is a tradition carried around by local tribes. Like if you look at that map right now, there's different communities growing up on different sides of the lake.
Yeah, like that lake is fucking huge.
Mm-hmm. So like some groups have come to, you know, attribute to the water dragon. Some have been able to sort of intermingle with what am I trying to say? Jesus Christ. You know how like Catholicism is super good at going into an area and saying, oh, you remember that thing you used to pray to? That's Jesus now.
Yeah.
It seems like it's that kind of thing.
Okay. So is there like a large population of like Christian Mongolian tribes living around the lake?
I mean, it's Russian now.
Ah, but yes, it's Russian now.
But it has been in times controlled by, you know, Mongolia. You know, it was in the great Khan's empire.
Right.
China has at some points had sovereignty over it. So many different kinds of peoples have grown up and lived and built communities around the lake. So it is like a real soup now.
That's pretty cool.
Which
I like that.
It's bringing a lot of really cool stories to pull from.
So yeah, I didn't mean to derail you, please.
Oh no, you're all good.
Let's hear the next one.
But we're going to go now into sort of more modern times.
I'm excited.
So there is this story. In 1982, there was a group of Soviet navymen. I don't know what they're called. Some probably sick Russian name. And they were using the lake for diving training.
Ooh. Okay.
And they, because, you know, you can go 5,000 feet deep. Like, it's a good place to test equipment, to sort of get your bearings. And Russia's had this problem of not having a lot of ports, not a lot of warm water ports that they can access here very often. So this lake became a bit of a training ground. So these seven divers are going down into the lake, and at about 165 feet, they find this unidentifiable creature in a metallic suit and helmet diving with them.
No way.
And at first you might say, oh, maybe it's another Soviet team. but they reported it to be 10 feet long.
Oh.
So something really big, something really long in a metallic diver suit is down there. And naturally, the commander says, I want you to go capture that creature. So they pursue it down.
Yeah, fuck no, sir.
No, they want him. They So they go in and they chase him down deeper down into the water. And once the creature realizes he's being pursued, he shoots them with what they called a sonar wave gun underwater. Oh,
okay.
It was said to knock the divers unconscious. And all of them just floated back up into the surface.
That's fucking wild.
Now, do you know what the bends is?
It's like if you surface too fast, you start fucking, like, something with your brain.
Yeah, if you take a trip underwater and you get deep enough, the pressure, and I think it's like carbon dioxide in your blood needs to take time to dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go up too fast, it doesn't get to dissipate well, and it creates bubbles in your body, and then you die.
Oh.
Yeah, three of those divers of the seven who pursued him died from being knocked unconscious by the sonar wave gun and floating to the top.
That's fucking wild.
Yeah. So, ever since, it's been pretty much regarded as holding an alien base under there.
Uh-huh.
That they...
And, you know, I've heard that before in other things that, like there's aliens living underground. They're not underground, but, like, they are living underwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And
you know, because we're not down there.
Secluded. We can't get there. For sure. Uh-huh. Makes sense to me.
That'd be the perfect spot. And, you know, if they're studying or something, like studying human civilization, like, you know, set up a base there. You're not really going to disturb them, you know?
A good, like, hiding in plain sight, like observation post, for sure. And
I'm image searching Lake Baikal creatures right now.
Okay.
And I am coming into contact with our old friend, the Ningen. Images of the Ningen.
Is he in there, my man? Up.
I guess. I don't know. That's pretty funny. Anyway, please.
There have been a number of reports of during the Second World War that a couple of jets, and after in the 50s, these jets kept pursuing unidentified flying objects over Lake Baikal.
Uh-huh.
And that one was shot down and crashed into the lake.
One of the unidentified flying objects?
Yeah, that a UFO was shot down in the 50s and landed in the lake and now is down there.
There any retrieval efforts?
There haven't been any retrieval efforts because nobody can get down there. It's so...
Oh, like that shit's down at the bottom.
That shit's all the way at the bottom.
Okay.
But it now has become a hotbed for sightings. People will say orbs of light frequently come out of the lake, or like things will emerge and go into the sky late at night.
Jesus.
As if like it's a big fucking spaceship parking lot. And
fucking wild.
Yeah, like a lot of stories from locals, I don't know if they're trying to like gas me up to get to visit them, but
right.
It's working. But they're saying, yeah, we'll see lights, we'll see figures, we'll see things coming in and out of the lake a lot at night.
Damn. That's fucking cool as shit.
Now, there's a certain prominent man in Russian government who is a big UFO alien sort of proponent. Do you know who Dmitry Medvedev is?
Nope.
All good. Nope. No worries. Dmitry Medvedev is the guy who Vladimir Putin tags in and out with to get over term limits.
Ah.
So, okay. Like, Putin will be president. He'll call Dmitry the prime minister. And then 8 years later, Dmitry gets to be president. Putin gets to be prime minister. And they just do that back and forth, like three times they've been.
Fuck it.
But Dmitry fucking loves aliens.
Mm-hmm.
He's always doing interviews. He's like, yeah, man, we need to, like, remove the military spending. We got to get more into this alien business. Like, we got to see what's going down in Lake Baikal.
That's great.
Like, this... And it's led people to believe that there's going to be some kind of, like, alien research retrieval project.
Uh-huh.
Because their fucking president loves it so much, or who was once the president. Like, could you imagine, like, flipping on the news one day and GW's on there being like, yeah, we got to go see what's up in Superior. I saw some lights one day and I think we should check that out.
That's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the leader of like that side of the world, like the biggest country. And he's just like, there's aliens at the bottom of Lake Baikal.
Just plain as day being about it.
That's fucking awesome.
There was a rumor going around at one point that Steven Spielberg was going to do a UFO movie from Lake Baikal.
Ooh.
Called Depth 211 or 211.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble figuring out what that refers to or like why that process was canceled, but from what I can tell, the locals got really, really excited that they were going to be in the Steven Spielberg movie, and then it never happened.
What's that? I can't think of the name of that movie, but there's a movie with a similar concept. It has Bruce Willis in it, so I want to say Armageddon, but it's not. But let me just look it up.
For sure.
Underwater alien movie. The Abyss.
The Abyss. I've not seen that one.
And I am a fucking liar. Bruce Willis is not in it.
That's
but yeah, it's about this team at the bottom of the ocean that discover... Like, there's just aliens down there.
Okay. They have a base? Like, are they living down there in some way?
Yeah. They're, like, just living down there, chilling down there. They have, like, a whole city down there. But, it's pretty cool because they don't... Like, at the end, they're just, like, they're just living down there. They're not evil.
Oh, I like that. They're not, like...
rude or mean or anything rude. Like that. They're just like
well-mannered.
Kind of, like at the end of the movie, they just kind of wave and then they like leave. So The Abyss, pretty cool movie.
There's something over the course of my studies that have kind of made me a little suspicious about the alien theory in Lake Baikal. And that is because that lake is getting absolutely dumped in. They are polluting the fuck out of this lake.
Oh!
Yep.
You fools!
There was some stat that, like, in the 60s, it was getting, like, 150,000 pounds of garbage a day or something dropped into it.
What?
It's a big hole in the ground. What else are you gonna do besides, you know, throw some trash?
Look for aliens?
So,
respect nature, maybe?
Yeah, no, it's...
Build a monolith on it? I don't know.
In 2019, there was a water bottling company from China that got sort of...
Oh my god.
A little frisky there, and I think locals have since shut that shit down.
Yeah.
Like, there's some respect. It's a World Heritage Site, like, but, you know, back in the day...
They respect, like, back... So they're not doing it now. Because I'm looking at images. It looks like it's a huge tourist attraction. People are swimming there, camping there, fishing there.
It looks to me like it's having an uptick. It's having like a good century.
Oh. Well, that's good. That's good.
I mean, in the 1900s, there were spaceships and jet planes and fucking submarines going in there. I mean, there's still a good number of researchers who are just absolutely enamored with Lake Baikal. There's tons of stories of, you know, deep sea submersibles going down there, getting something like 4,000 feet, trying to reach the bottom and like just getting as much information as they can.
Now, what's the deepest that anyone's gone in Lake Baikal?
From what I've read, about 3,900 feet.
3,900 feet?
Yep.
Was that recorded?
That was, yeah, in 1977.
Damn. Do you have any photos of that?
I could probably try and find that submersible.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's called the Paysis. P-A-Y-S-I-S.
Ooh, spell that again.
P-A-Y-S-I-S.
Paysis. Lake Baikal. That's fucking wild. Was that a Soviet project?
You know, it's the 70s. I'm going to go ahead and thumbs up that, say it was a Soviet project.
Yeah. Damn, that's fucking wild.
It is also one of the clearest lakes. Like, you can see it was something ridiculous, like 100 feet right down in there.
Really?
These days, yeah.
Hmm.
Now, just to give you an idea of like the murky, like hell that is Lake Baikal, it can get down to about 5,000 feet. Photosynthesis stops at about 650.
650 feet?
Yeah. So like enough what? Light to sustain plants is done way, way, way before you get to the bottom.
What? The fuck could be down there?
it's literally like a gash ripped open in the middle of the earth.
Is there a River Monsters episode on it?
There could be. There's tons of rivers that feed into it. The one, the capital of Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, has a river that flows over to Lake Baikal.
That's crazy. What are those things called? The thing that Relicant is based off of.
Oh, the coelacanth? Like the ancient fish?
I'm looking it up. Yeah, coelacanth. Coelacanth, you know.
Yeah.
But, because I watched an episode of River Monsters, and he, like, caught one of those in the North Atlantic, and he was like, he pulled it up, and he's like, dude, this thing's never seen sunlight before. It's probably like 100 years old.
Oh my god. I didn't know he caught one of those.
Those fish are like, they can live like, they live like super long.
Yeah, who knows what horrible creature is down there that we just have no idea.
It is coelacanth. I'm an idiot.
All good.
Yeah, they are... they're pretty fucking cool.
So, the last thing I want to leave you with, it's the one of the more modern, sort of undiscovered truths about Lake Baikal. So, every winter, it freezes over, right?
Uh-huh.
Big, massive sheets of ice. You can drive fucking cars on it. You can drive trucks on it.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of pictures of people just drifting down the goddamn Lake Baikal.
A, phenomenon in this lake where these big rings will form in the ice.
What?
Like something is floating up and etching or like carving, like something that makes these rings form.
Oh.
From under the ice.
That's satellite imagery.
Holy shit. Oh yeah, look those up. I'm gonna litter this video with ice ring pics. And
Whoa. For
context, like the biggest ring was like 18 miles long, like a huge ring of just melted ice or something is up there or is coming up from there.
Hmm.
And that's the sort of mystery of Lake Baikal. There's on every front, there's crazy, terrible shit happening there, And I want to know
what's like the real life abyss, huh?
Mm-hmm. And like, what's the word? Hypotheses include maybe there's like thermal vents down there.
Yeah.
Maybe aliens are sending message rings. Yeah, the alien bases know to like send some messages when it's frozen over.
God damn, that's crazy.
Like, who knows?
That is crazy.
And I really wanted to share this one simply because so many damn cool things happen there.
Yeah.
Like, you could take any kind of, like, historiographic? Is that the word I'm looking for? Historical. You could take so many, like, historical routes or, like, cultural routes. Or if you like the sea monsters or if you like the aliens, like, Lake Baikal's got it all for you.
Even, like, if you took all of that away, I'm still intrigued by the literal abyss. You know,
the oldest, deepest body of water,
but like the oldest, deepest body of water comboed with sea monsters and aliens, like that's just the cherry on top. That makes this fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's fucking cool.
And now I'm eager to go visit Lake Baikal. It's going on the list.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's gorgeous. Have you seen these things?
Oh yeah, I'm looking at the pictures. This looks super pretty.
And it's,
I don't think I'd go in the water though.
You're not going swimming in the void lake?
No. Sure, you know that quote about staring into the abyss, but I'm not going into the abyss.
Yeah, some of those lake monster quotes would be like, yeah, I'm fishing, and then like something the size of a log just starts swimming above the water, like murking everything up, and then goes away.
Absolute insanity. That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's what I got for you on Lake Baikal.
Well, that was a good one. That was a really good one. Ooh, get that stretch in. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Go ahead, and if you want to send us any experiences that you personally have had, feel free to email us at supermadtower@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Mad Tower Radio. And don't forget to subscribe. And keep a lookout. Christian, you got anything?
Just stay curious. Keep looking out there.
Oh, yeah. All right, folks. This has been Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.
A frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.